The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre, providers of the fastest fibre optic broadband on the island. Call them on 01983 240 240. That's 01983 240 240.
Now, I've got to be honest, we had nothing planned come the weekend, and then Dame Shirley had this wonderful idea of we should talk about brothels and the legalisation of brothels, which I'm guessing means prostitution as well.
Yes.
You chuck all that in too.
Yes, yeah.
Which at the moment, is it absolutely illegal to sell your body for sex?
I don't know for sure, but I do know that there's countries that do have legal brothels. But what made me think of the subject was it was on the news, and in Leeds at the moment there's one street quite famous for prostitutes sort of walking the streets, and they get beaten around and everything, so the police are going to police that street to look after these ladies.
About time.
Yeah, and I thought, well, why don't we have brothels, legalised brothels, where they've got somewhere to go, you get the women off the streets, you know? I mean, they've got legalised brothels in Germany, Greece, Hungary and Iceland, and that's just a few countries that I've found.
And do they look after them medically as well?
Yes, I presume they do, yes. Yeah, if they're run properly, they would be, wouldn't they?
They should be.
Okay.
And I can understand that they do need brothels. I mean, it might take out a lot of rape, I don't know. But, you know, when men...
So those countries look upon it as a service in
yes,
a way, don't they?
Yes, yeah. And I think if there's a man that hasn't got a woman, he can't get a lady, hasn't got a girlfriend, feels lonely or something, you know, men need...
an outlet, shall we say.
Yes.
Okay.
I wonder just if it's legalised, do you think that takes the frisson, the thrill out of it for the man or whoever's using that service?
I don't think...
If it's a bit illegal...
I don't know. I think anywhere... Oh.
But if you go in and it's all above board,
yes,
are you getting that same thrill, that same level of excitement? Over to you, Ian, what do you say?
Well, look, we'll come back to that in a moment, but yeah, prostitution is legal in this country. Persistent solicitation in public places is illegal, curb crawling is illegal, but prostitution itself is legal in this country. Brothel ownership is illegal, so you can actually go back to someone's place of work, if that's what you call it, and charge. But according to this, new laws making it a criminal offence to have sex with prostitutes controlled by pimps may be too complex to work in practice, police have warned. The legislation, which is due to come into effect later this year, aims to protect women forced into the trade. Gloucestershire Chief Constable Dr. Tim Brain said he feared the complexity of the new law may make gaining evidence hard. The government's plans to change the law in England and Wales aims to protect women forced into the trade by traffickers and pimps.
Yeah.
Home Secretary Jackie Smith launched the new legislation with an unequivocal message saying there will be no more excuses for those who pay for sex. At present, it's not illegal to pay for sex under the new legislation. A man will face prosecution if he pays for sex with a woman who is being controlled for gain by someone else. The Home Secretary says more than 160 victims of sex trafficking were rescued by police in a six-month period last year. The bill also includes tougher controls on curb crawlers.
Mm.
Okay, so that's the long and short of it in this country.
So they're clamping down on the users, the people that are paying for the service.
And the pimps as well.
Yeah, so the pimps, the people who...
And then some girls don't want to be...
But the girls are not being charged now. Is that... Did I understand that right?
Well, it kind of contradicts itself a little bit, doesn't it? But as it is at the moment, supposedly parts of it is legal. Prostitution is legal. Persistent solicitation in public places is illegal. And curb crawling is illegal. And brothel ownership is illegal as well.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So we are asking the question about brothels.
Yeah.
What was the question again, Jones? I just wanted to chuck that in before someone phones up and says, yeah, it is legal okay. in places.
Yeah, but like you say, it's quite grey, isn't it? It's quite hard to work out yeah. what is and what isn't.
Yes.
No, I was just saying to Shirley, if you legalised a brothel, would that take some of the excitement out of it for the user? You know, if you're doing something a bit underhand and you know you shouldn't be doing it, that can often add to the excitement, can't it?
And you asked me that question.
I just in the discussion.
This is a man's point of view we need,
exactly.
isn't it?
I ain't got any money. I'd be forever saying, look, can I have a freebie? Can you sort me out with a freebie? See how it goes. What about if I put all the effort in? Can I earn myself some money back?
I don't think it doesn't work like that.
Cash back? No, just lay back. Shall we take a call, Joe? See if there's someone else on
it. Let's see what somebody else has got to say.
See how much they're willing to pay us.
Hello? Hello there?
Hello?
Hello?
Hi there.
Hello?
Hello?
Two women on the end of the phone.
Yes.
There is, and a man too.
Oh, hello, Ian.
We can offer all sorts, Keith.
I was a bit worried about that. I was going to say, you're talking about brothels, and all of a sudden two ladies answer the phone. But there we go. Good afternoon to you all.
Good afternoon.
The thing is, the problem with brothels, over here at the moment, it's, we all know the ladies of the night in the areas where it's been happening.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of it is run by the drug gangs, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Is you got the what they call pimps, aren't they?
Yeah.
And they sort of make money off the back of these women, not, you know, no pun intended. But it's if it was legalised, it would stop the women from being sort of ill-treated. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yes. Yeah.
And also, it can be monitored. As to, because some of these women, you know, they're drug addicts themselves.
Yeah.
And obviously they've been plied with drugs, et cetera, et cetera. And, and have to find this is the only way they can sort of supply their habit.
Yeah, yeah. I think as well, I mean, there's that street in Southampton, which is well known, isn't it, Keith?
Not anymore. It's not there anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's not there. The street's there, but it's nothing to do with the ladies of the night.
They've cleaned it up down there.
They have indeed.
It's not fair on the families of people that live in these streets where these women are walking up and down all night. I feel sorry for the people living there. You know, if they're coming home late at night, genuine, and there's curb crawlers
you've still got that stigma whenever a sex shop opens up in the area, haven't you?
Well, yeah, we haven't got one now on the island.
Haven't got one on the island?
No.
Not at all?
I don't know. Yes, we have.
Have we?
We have. It just opens up in the evening, haven't we?
Where's
yeah,
that?
Up at Pyle Street.
Really? Yeah. I remember that one you're talking about.
I've
never been in there, but
it's got blackened out windows.
Okay, Shirley, you seem to know a lot more about this than me and Ian. So we'll just
yeah. Well, we've got several over here on the mainland. Have you still got Anne Summers in Newport?
No, they've gone.
Why is that, do you reckon?
Because we order from the internet, don't we?
Good one.
Yeah, but do you think in Southampton, the Anne Summers shop in Southampton is absolutely booming? Do you think it's perhaps the stigma of Newport thinking
Keith, all the shops are closing in Newport. It's dreadful.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, you can't say that it's due to out of town shopping, because Anne Summers won't build a mega warehouse on the outskirts of Newport to try and sell their wares.
No.
I'm just trying to work out why suddenly that. Because I thought it was doing quite well over there.
I've never been in there.
Hang on, what are you lost? Anne Summers, are we still talking about Anne Summers?
Yeah.
Now, where was the Anne Summers shop?
It's where the betting shop is now.
Yeah, there's a jewellery shop there, I think.
And a jewellery shop is there.
Pandora jewellery shop.
Really? Yeah. So it's gone from one voice to another?
If my memory serves me right, the Anne Summers shop used to be a little newsagent's.
Uh-huh.
And at the moment, it's like a... it's a pawn shop, but not that kind of pawn.
It is a pawn shop.
That's where it was. That's where the Anne Summers stuff.
That really sort of shocks me in a way, to thinking that really there wasn't that sort of trade that could be plied in Newport. Because over here, they're springing up all over the place, mate.
Are they really?
Yeah.
See, the thing is, I mean, they say it's the oldest trade. Ever.
Well, no, the oldest trade is gardener.
Is it?
Really?
Yeah. Because Adam and Eve had the Garden of Eden.
So, in all fairness, I mean, it's a trade, and we need to boost the economy. So it would therefore make sense for us to legalise it to a point where, okay, where you go down a road of where it's safe. You've got to make it safe.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That to me makes sense if you're going to boost the economy, but you then think, well, hang on a minute, is that going to... Because there'll be people out there that won't be able to afford it, will they?
Just because...
Well, not only that, what you've got to look at, Ian, is the people that... Where you put this premises is going to open is the people that live in the surrounding area. Their properties are going to drop in value straight away.
Yeah, could be.
But I think is why. Why should they have that stigma?
Mm.
Everybody has sex.
Yes, but I think if it was run properly...
Yes, I agree, Shirley.
You know, you could put one anywhere, really.
Yeah.
I think so,
and
anyway.
Anything that you drive underground doesn't mean to say it's not going to happen. It's still going to happen.
It will go on.
And it's better if you legalise it, like Shirley said, and you protect the girls.
You know, you go back 30, 40 years with the gay bars. You know, everybody that went to a gay bar, 9 times out of 10, they come out of that place, they got beat up.
Yeah, you're
right. But now it's accepted.
That's right. Yes.
Which it should be.
Of course it should.
Thank goodness we've come a long way, and we buried our heads in the sand for so long. And like you rightly say, you know, we all have sex, don't we? And we've all got urges.
Oh, gosh, everybody needs it. Some people need it more than others, Ian.
Well, I know we're making lightheartedness of it, but
there's a need, or it wouldn't exist.
Exactly.
That's why it's there. Yeah. That's why it came about in the first place.
You know, they say that it's there to procreate. I know, but it sure is a fun way of procreating. But it's.
Like, and I think the girls are the priority, aren't they? They should be the ones that are protected physically from any kind of physical abuse, but also to have kind of regular medical checks so that their sexual health is...
Which I think it's in Holland, which is where they do have these brothels.
Yeah.
It is treated in that way. And also the area, there is no stigma attached.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
But they look at it differently over there, don't they?
I know in the 70s, you know, it used to be the in thing to go. We had the peep shows up in London. You know, yes, I went to one of the peep shows where you put your 50p in and a little letterbox opened.
That's right.
And there was a woman the other side that was gyrating and doing all sorts of wonderful things with her body.
Yeah.
And would do extras if you paid, but, you know, it's always been there.
Yeah,
I think we have a very sort of childish, puerile attitude to it, don't we? We sort of sneak behind our hands.
Only if you don't grow up to the fact and you stay like a schoolboy playground.
No, I mean, by the way, we're not legalising it. We're not sort of taking care of these girls. That's a grown-up thing to do, is to look after them and take care of them.
Mm.
You're just kind of using them and, you know, thinking of them as second-class citizens that a lot of people do, then that I think that's when the trouble. And then people say, yeah, they are nothing. We can abuse them. We can do what we like to them. No, you can't, actually.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's like here in the small village that I run, last November, I actually ran a burlesque night. Organised a burlesque night.
Yeah.
And the majority of the audience, I think I got my wrist slapped, if you know what I mean. It's not the area to do one of those things.
Well, what were you wearing, Keith?
I was fine. I was a compere and I was also doing the sound, the stage.
So you were fully clothed then?
I was, The ladies weren't.
I think burlesque is fine, because I don't think there's anything wrong with
that. There was only one wardrobe malfunction and the tassel fell off, but that was all.
And I bet there was women watching as well as men, wasn't there?
There were, yeah, there were. But,
I mean, I must admit, I've been to a strip show.
Yeah.
I thought you'd been in one.
Strip shows and burlesque are not quite, you know, there's nothing fully exposed, is there?
No, I mean, I've been to a burlesque, and I love the costumes.
Yes.
I love the way the girls look. I think they're absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
And then I did find myself sort of about 10 minutes into the show thinking, what am I doing here? Why am I watching
this? Yeah, but why did you feel that way?
I didn't want... Because it wasn't... I didn't find it titillating for me. I'd seen the costumes, and as a sort of piece of fashion show, if you like, I thought they were gorgeous, and the girls had done their hair, makeup, they looked fabulous. But I thought, this show isn't for me, and I didn't feel comfortable.
You know, is it because of the stigma that's attached
to
it?
No, I wasn't...
You found it boring?
I just, it wasn't for me.
You found it boring. Wouldn't you have found it boring if it was men?
I didn't. Well, I tell you what, I love the Full Monty, but I wouldn't go and watch something like the Chippendales.
I wouldn't.
I like
the
Full Monty because it was funny.
So you wouldn't need full-on nudity?
No, I'm saying I wouldn't go and watch the Chippendales. I've got nothing. I can't think of anything
worse. The Full Monty. You said you liked the Full Monty.
Yeah, because it was
but
funny.
That's full-on nudity.
Only at the end.
But you didn't see it all, did you, Keith? Let's face
it. Are we talking about the film? Because there wasn't any nudity.
It was the end. They put the helmets over their helmets, don't they?
Yeah. I wouldn't go to a male strip.
Wouldn't do anything for me.
No, not at all. It might have done 50 years ago.
People say when they get married, they always think, oh yeah, get a stripper for the bloke and get a male, gyrator for the woman.
Oh no, it don't appeal to me at all.
No,
it
me
does.
Neither.
No. Well, maybe when I was a teenager it would have done, but not now.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Sadly, going back to what we're talking about, it is a lot of stigma attached to it regarding, it is still underground.
It is, yeah. Yeah.
But do you think when you think of other countries that let's just take the Netherlands, Holland, call them what you will.
Yeah.
They've it's legalized out there.
Well, so is drugs, Ian.
That's another thing as well. Where they haven't shoved it under the carpet.
No.
They've kind of controlled it, and because they've controlled it, does it work? I just wonder if we've ever had a conversation with anybody from Holland, just to talk about how does it all work and how do you feel? Because you talk to most people, let's just stay on the sex trade for the moment. You talk to most people and they want to shove it under the carpet or they don't like talking about it because they feel a bit awkward. And I think half the time, when you look at the history of this country, when you've had people that for years were... They were treated like second-class citizens because they were gay.
Yeah.
There's a lovely film out at the moment that is highlighting the transgender side of things, which again...
That was a foreign country that brought that forward first, mate.
Exactly, but the point I'm trying to make is that why are we in Britain so slow and so down on these people and give them an ism, just because they're slightly different? And I say, why is it we want to sweep it under the carpet and not talk about it?
Because we're very childish about it, aren't we?
Yeah.
Is it childish?
I think it is. I think we're not moving forward. Like you say, we've been very slow.
Yeah, it would be interesting to talk about things. Yeah, sorry, Cheryl, go on.
I think they're too frightened to talk about things. I don't know really. I mean,
it's like regarding like going back to the gay situation again, isn't it?
Yes.
It's like like I say, you go back 40 years. It was crikey. It was not even thought about, was it? It was terrible.
I mean, if you go to somewhere like Holland, there's all these sections.
Yeah, well, that's what I was just going to say. I wonder what the criminal records regarding rape and sexual assault are over there.
Over these countries, yeah, yeah.
I'd really like to know the facts on these countries that have legalised it.
Yes.
Where are the improvements in the figures?
Yes.
How does the picture look as opposed to here, where it is all underground and a bit scuzzy?
Yeah.
What's the difference? What have they achieved?
Exactly.
Mm. It'd be interesting to know. It would be interesting to see if their crime rate's down, and does it boost the economy? Because
and
the
health
of the
girls, are they not on drugs? Because a lot of them here, they're deliberately kept hooked on drugs, aren't they?
So that
they need their fix.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's how it all works. So these poor girls.
Well, it's like Shirley mentioned the area in Southampton. Go back about 40 years, 1978. I was working down that way delivering plan.
Yeah.
And I was delivering stuff to a lot of people that were converting properties down there for this occupation, so to speak.
Mm.
And the actual girls, if you'd have put them in a bar with any other bunch of girls, and you couldn't tell the difference, you wouldn't know if they were on the game or not.
But even in the daytime, they'd be walking around, weren't they?
Oh, yeah. They used to have the little Spanish doll in the window.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know about this too, sure. Yeah,
yeah, I do. Yeah, Derby Road, yeah.
Well, that's right. Yeah, I didn't want to say the area.
It's true, though, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's Derby Road. Yeah, it's Derby Road in Southampton.
But they've cleaned it up. I didn't know that.
It's a brilliant area down there now because it used to be a lot of Indian, how can I put it? It was Indian majority down there. And to be honest with you, back then, it was a lot of Indian majority there that was doing the building conversions and whatnot and renting the properties out.
Yes.
But they lived in harmony. Everybody's living in harmony down there.
Yeah.
You know, it's really, really multicultural down there in Southampton. But and then we got the situation, like, I know I'm going off on a tangent here, Ian, but you got the situation with Shirley, not Shirley or Shirley, but Shirley in Southampton.
Yeah.
Where the Polish sprung up with all their shops and whatnot.
Yeah.
And there's a hell of a lot of animosity down there.
Yeah.
And I don't know why.
I think it was on the television a while ago about this, wasn't it?
Well, about Shirley and Southampton.
Yes, yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
We're not very good at dealing with things that are slightly different, are we?
We don't want to talk about it. It's like the old situation.
We're British. We don't want change.
It's really sad.
I think. Yeah. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, we should learn to adapt and learn to accept that, you know, people are going to be different in our lifetime.
Andover had its own prostitution area.
Mm. By and large, I'm going to say this, and it's probably not going to go down well, but by and large, we're ruled by ex-public schoolboys, aren't we?
Oh, definitely.
And ex-public school boys.
They wouldn't need anything
like that, they wouldn't need it.
That sprung up on the...
No, what I'm saying, Keith, is that they don't really know how to deal with this kind of thing. They like to pretend it doesn't happen, even though they use the service themselves. And I think they think these women are beneath them.
Yeah.
I really do.
Oh, crikey, they think everybody's beneath them.
Exactly. So, yes, you know, where if that... Other
anybody that doesn't go to a university or college and... you know, doesn't have daddy there to support them.
Yeah.
Are way beneath them.
Yep.
I'm afraid to say. It was like yesterday, something sprung up on, I know it's totally different, sprung up on the social media page, Facebook page. Apparently £15 million is going to be spent building a museum in aid of Margaret Thatcher.
Yeah, I saw that.
Was that a joke?
No, I saw that.
I thought it was a joke. I thought, oh, somebody's just winding people up, aren't they?
No, well, from what I can make out, a lot of people have confirmed it.
Yeah, her stuff went really well. Didn't they do an exhibition at the Victoria and Albert or something of her clothes and her bags and things like that?
Yes,
but who's going to pay for this?
Well, we are.
Well,
yeah. Yeah, we are.
Hopefully, the Conservatives should pay for it, given
we would pay for the brothels if they started. Yeah, but then again, to get them off the ground to do it properly...
They could have a business.
But then they could fund themselves.
Yeah, of course they would.
Yeah, they should be free enterprise, shouldn't they?
But then again, would you tax it? Would it be taxed?
Of course, otherwise, if it's legal, it's got to be taxed,
Boost the economy.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course it would.
Well, it would. It would boost the economy. Yeah, I mean, if it was done properly, I don't have an issue with it.
But then again, Ian, where would you put it?
Well, that's the point. I think maybe town centres, maybe you know.
First floor of the council building. Either that or on industrial estates. There's a lot of industrial estates that got buildings.
When they've applied for Anne Summers to come here, there was a lot of people up in arms.
Why?
Yeah, but why?
You
know, I don't know.
You're going to get some naughty knickers. For goodness sake, sort yourself out. It might even improve your sex life. Keep the cost down.
Not only that, Ian, you know, the moan about everybody's using the internet. So, right, fair enough. And they go onto the internet now to buy the marital aids.
Yeah.
Then they're going to start shopping for other things on there as well.
Well, of course we do.
Instead of allowing these shops to actually run and trade, Next to the ordinary vegetable supermarket.
Ian doesn't know of the one I know where there is one. I'm going to have to tell him when we're off air.
Well, just be careful, you know.
I'd rather not know. Before the Anne Summers scene struck big, it was the Backstreet Shops, wasn't it?
Yes.
They were there before Anne Summers.
Yeah.
I used to deliver stuff to Anne Summers up in Surrey there. I think it's Causden, I think, her place. The factory where it's made. Well, the stuff is made, I should say. And they're absolutely booming. They were booming then. This is back in the mid-80s.
Yeah.
Or the end of the
80s. I used to work in Soho in the 80s and the 90s, and of course when I first went there, you know, my father said you can't go and work up there. I worked in advertising.
He said
you can't work there, and I said it's absolutely fine, but it hadn't been cleaned up, and it was a real eye-opener.
Well, it's like when we went to Soho, like I said, they were hanging out the windows above the shops.
That's right, and the red lights and everything. But the girls didn't, they looked so thin and pale and ill. Unwell and sort of just kind of dead behind the eyes. That was the saddest thing.
Drugs.
Yes. Yeah, probably. Yeah. And I was very naive then. I didn't realise that that's how it all worked. Mm-hmm. And then,
can I ask you a personal question? Of what decade were you born?
Me?
Yeah.
Why? Why is that relevant?
You don't ask a lady her age.
I'm not asking her age. I asked what decade she was born.
I don't think that's relevant, Keith. What did you want to say apart from that?
No, I just wondered what you were thinking of when you actually were walking around or working.
I was very young. It was my first job, so yeah. I was very...
Yeah, so we could be roughly the same age.
I was very naive, and it was like, so it was reliant on it, but I just remember feeling very, very sorry for the girls and the plight that they seemed to be in.
Mm. Yeah, and the clothing they wore wasn't a lot to be desired, was it?
No, but it's very similar to what the young ones wear now and what the pop stars wear when they do their videos.
Funny. It's what school kids are wearing.
That's right. Yeah, it has become, and it is quite shocking.
Yeah.
And that makes me sound like a real old fogey, but...
No, not at all.
I do think it's quite concerned. I am concerned at the way they dress now and what's seen to be the what is seen as the norm.
I'm with you there, Joan. Mm. I really am. Yes.
Yeah. It's all gloves are off, literally, isn't it?
Yep.
And
yes.
I think the latest fashion I just saw is going to be, I know it's going to hit the catwalks, whether it hits the high street, please God no. It's the rubber fetish dresses.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. So we can't
go any lower, can we? If this is now day wear.
Yeah.
And what are you going to wear as sort of titillation in the evening?
But it's the young girls that
that's what I mean.
Well, yeah,
the
but then you had, you had the girls that were the chains and the very short stuff, you know. I don't think it's called goth, is it? Is it goth?
There's a lot of that, yeah.
Yeah, that sort of stuff looks like bondage. Mm. There used to be, there was a big shop in Southampton called Bondage in General. It was in the, just up the road from the Mayflower then.
Blimey.
There was a sex shop in when I worked in Hoxton a few years on from there, and it's still there now, and it was for women only. And men can go in there, but the assistants will only speak to the ladies. They won't speak to the men.
No, that's right. There's one in Andover that's got...
It was to make women feel more comfortable about going into sex.
In Southampton, they've actually got a sex supermarket.
Oh, my word.
Blimey.
It's that big. The shop's that big.
Crikey.
And they deal with film,
we would
DVDs,
never have that on the island. They wouldn't let us.
Clothing. Yeah, but...
Oh, cheer us up.
what's it called? Tassels for you?
No. I can't think what it's called now, but it's not far from the ferry terminal, actually.
Really?
But, yeah, you could, it's not... Well, I wouldn't say it's in walking distance, but... Well, you know, it is in walking distance.
Oh, well, next time over in Southampton, I might check it out.
Yeah, but it's always the train's always been there.
Absolutely.
You're going to an ad break, Ian? I just wanted to speak to you off air. That was all.
Well, no, we're not going to go to an ad break. Right, feel free to phone us back later on, though.
I will.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't want to hog it for much longer.
Bye.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Bye.
All right, then.
Bye.
Come on, then. Bye.
See you later. And there we are, then. Back in the room.
We are. Back in the room.
So?
I thought, Shirley, you had a really good point about the ladies' brothels.
Well, not for me particularly.
No, but you raised.
Shirley hasn't
really
had a good point for a long, long time.
Come on, this is very interesting.
But they've got.
Yeah.
And you moan about Philip Schofield. Come on.
If they have brothels where there's women in there for men to go to, why don't they have brothels that are men for women to go to?
Interesting
because
you say
there's
that.
There's a lot of lonely women out there.
Interesting you should say that. In the country that people have probably most gone to or talked about, where it's legal, there's around 90% of sex workers are estimated to be female, 5% are male, and 5% are transgender. This is in the Netherlands. Mm. So even in a country where they're quite sort of open and honest about it, and they can have a serious conversation or not, as the case may be, that it doesn't bother them at all, only 5% are male. So it's not really it's not really a big thing for men to get involved in.
I know they have male escorts that women can, but it's different that though, isn't
it? The gigolos.
But let's be honest, would you go to a man of the night, just say for instance Mick couldn't perform anymore. I mean, would you go and go back even when you were in your prime, which is obviously some years ago, but if you were in your prime, would you have gone to a man?
I wouldn't have think so. No, I don't think I would.
And I would say that the majority of women wouldn't.
Well, Shirley and I were having a little bit of research while you were out earlier. Yeah. And they were saying that women like to get to know the man first before they'll have sex, whereas men don't need to get to know the woman.
But there's women that have never been married, never had children or something, are single, they're getting on in
but
years,
even so,
never had a boyfriend, and they've got needs.
So perhaps what you'd need is a brothel with pre-dinner. So you have a dinner... And then you go, so like a hotel.
Get to know the man.
No, you go, it'd be like a brothel slash hotel. So you'd have your drinks, you'd have your dinner, yeah. And then you'd go up to the room. Mm. By that time, you've kind of got to know the guy a little
bit. I'm uncomfortable then, if I'm not on a full stomach.
Just
a snack.
Oh, no, yeah, light snack, more drink than eat.
Light bites.
Yes, you know how it goes. We won't have that death by chocolate. We'll pass on that. No, but they were saying that it's a sort of psychological thing with women, weren't they? That yes. Men will say, men would rather have sex with a woman than take her to dinner. This is some university finding.
I don't mind going afterwards.
So they'd say, yeah, because I think men need sex more than women do, yeah, basically.
See, I also think that, you know, you're doing men a disservice saying that, you know, the majority of men would much rather just get on with it. They don't need to know
it's
you.
It's a fact, Ian.
Because that ain't me. And,
no,
and,
darling.
And
no,
but
no, we're not
that.
Talking, we found not this talking out. About we, you, We Ian. Did research.
We did some research about
and
this.
And the majority it's of men, you. If you say, would you like to have sex with me after dinner, they would say, why are we waiting till after dinner?
Right, yes. Okay.
They would, yeah.
Why are we waiting till after dinner?
Well, you would.
Yeah, just let's get on with it now.
Yeah, well, see, I'd look at it, it's just slightly different, because I'd rather build up an appetite first, but not for those reasons that you just want to get straight down to it. You know, I'm sort of, I don't think I've ever had a relationship where you just go and have sex. That's it.
Oh,
you know,
weird.
One night stands.
You don't know
I've
what
never, never ever had a one night stand. What, all that moaning and groaning beforehand.
But now, again, we're talking about the sort of younger generation.
Yes.
There are apps, aren't there, where they can just look and see who's in their area and who's up for it.
The
basically,
younger generation
and
they will go. They seem to go to bed with everybody.
To bed before they've done anything else.
Oh, yes, of course they do.
They don't kind of get to know one another. They meet somebody on a Saturday night and they will sleep. With them, that's the first thing they do. They kind of get that out the way.
This is
then they develop
they
a relationship.
I was born in the wrong generation.
Oh, well,
mind like
you,
that.
It's not too late, Ian.
I would rather eat afterwards than before.
Well, some eat during, don't they?
Well, sometimes, yeah, I guess, but I wouldn't want to eat. I'd like to have something afterwards. Hey, let's go and have something to eat afterwards, but not for those reasons, you know. That's the way I would look at it, but it's each to their own, eh? But we've grown up in the wrong generation, and do you feel like you've missed out on something?
No. Yeah, because my grandchildren. I mean, they're probably listening now. One of them.
He's probably not. He's probably having sex.
He probably is. I mean, they've brought girlfriends home, or they've been to their houses, and they've slept together.
Yes.
And I've always said to the girl, "Does your mum and dad let you know? You know, is she okay with this?" And they've all said yes. You know, and they...
Well, they're not, are they? They're clearly not. If they went up to their dad and said, this is what I'm going to do this afternoon, Dad, what do you reckon? He wouldn't say, off you go, my love, would he?
Well,
I mean, it's ridiculous.
They bring in, they stay the night, and I've got some grandchildren, girls, that I know have had lads stay the night with them, and it's nothing these days.
What, in the house, the family house?
Oh, yes, they stay the night.
And mum and dad know about it?
Yeah.
And how old are they?
Yeah.
Well, I've got friends who've said, you know, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen anyway, you know, on the backseat of a car, down an alley. So, frankly, they've said, I would prefer it happened under my roof.
Yeah. But in their jeans.
Really? Oh, why would you want it happening under your roof?
Because they feel more in charge, even though they're not. They feel more in control, even though they're not.
Yeah.
But they said, if it's going to happen, it will happen anyway. I'd rather it happened here.
Yeah, it's true. Your son never...
He wanted to bring a girl home one night. They've been together for about 3 or 4 months, and I said, no, absolutely no way, mate.
Well, you're old-fashioned then, Ian. You're not with it.
Well, no, I think I'm very with it.
No, I think... I don't know whether I agree with it or not, but it does go on.
And it's sort of a primeval urge, and they just act on it. I mean, sort of waited, said no.
Of course we did.
But it doesn't seem to
be
that way. They don't. They don't see the need to.
No, they don't. No.
Well, talking of needs, we should take a quick commercial break, and then we'll come back with more needs in a mo. It's all free as well.
The Lunchtime Social is brought to you in association with White Fibre for the best deals in broadband, television and phone, 100% local. All employees live on the Isle of Wight. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com.
This is Vectis Radio.
For the people, by the people.
Have you looked at your carpets lately? Are they fit to be seen, or do they let you down? Or maybe they could really do with a freshening up to get rid of some of those stains and smells. Whatever the problem with your carpets, curtains, or upholstery, You need ChemDry first. Call us for a quote on 295 518. No matter what the material, be it leather, cotton or silk, ChemDry first have the tools, training and experience to ensure they look their best. All cleaning products are 100% safe and non-toxic. Call 295 518 or go to www.chemdryfirst.co.uk to book a free quotation and claim your free can of spot remover. We offer a no-quibble money-back guarantee on every job, so you have nothing to lose. That number again is 295 518.
Are you an employer concerned about your responsibilities for workplace pensions? Sage have got it covered. If you already use Sage Payroll software, you can add the Sage auto-enrolment module to help you manage your pension duties, enrol your staff and comply with the new legislation. Contact the Asperity Group, that's A-S-P-E-R-I-T-I, on 01983 721548, your local Sage business partner. Visit our website at www.asperity.co.uk or email us on info@asperity.co.uk.
Need your appliances pack tested? Call the local experts, West White Audio. Reasonable prices and all-island coverage. Give Kelvin a ring on 0800 118 2484 for a no-obligation chat. Email info@westwhiteaudio.co.uk or follow the link on the Vectis Radio homepage.
The 4 P's project is for 11 to 19-year-olds and up to 25 years with additional needs. Presenting, producing, promoting and podcasting. Check out www.4ps.org.uk. Sponsored by CLC, the Care Learning Centre.
Hostfest 2015 this year conjured up some of the most talented musicians the Isle of Wight has. Vectis Radio are giving you another chance to listen to the island's most talented live and local acts as we relive Hostfest 2015, Saturday afternoons 1 until 3.
Postfest live coverage is sponsored by Hover Travel, the fastest ferry across the Solent. With a journey time of 10 minutes and crossings every 30 minutes, Hover Travel is your easiest connection to the mainland. For more details, go to www.hovertravel.co.uk.
Stay social and get in touch. Give us a call on 01983 240 666 or add us on Skype. It's Vectis.radio. The World Wide Web never felt so local. So local.
Here we are then, back for the final part of our lunchtime social debate. We are talking and asking the question, should brothels be legalised in the UK? And I think we've got a phone coming, someone trying to get us on the phone there, Joan.
Yep,
so let's see if we can get them on air, shall we?
Hello.
No, I was trying to hope to catch you during the advert.
Ah, right, okay. You still want to have that conversation? All right.
Yeah, it's just a quick word, that was all.
Phone us back later, Keith. We'll do it then.
All right, then.
Thanks, mate. Cheers now. Bye. So, we're looking at, you know, prostitution, brothels, and we were talking about what they've got going on in Holland. Prostitution in the Netherlands is legal and regulated. Operating a brothel is also legal, whereas prostitution in this country is legal, but opening a brothel is illegal at the moment. In the last few years in Holland, a significant number of brothels and windows have been closed because of suspected criminal activity. The largest and best known red light district in Amsterdam is the destination for international sex tourism. So it's not without its problems. And they say that there are around, have a guess how many prostitutes there are in the Netherlands at the moment.
Quite a lot, I should think.
A million?
No, they reckon there's about 25,000 prostitutes in Holland. So it's not a big country, is it? There's not that many people that actually live there. I mean, but, you know, 25,000 with 12,500 working at any one time at a total of 6,000 locations. Mm. So you're never good short grief. Of a place to go.
We've got a caller on the line.
Shall we go again? You are through to Vectis Radio. Hi, who's that?
Hello, Ian. It's Jay.
Hello, Jay.
And hello, lady. Jay.
Hello there.
Hiya. What was the question? Should brothels be legalised? Is that
we think we should have legalised brothels? Yeah.
Yeah.
and
well, no, you do.
I do. Yes, I do.
Yeah, don't speak for me.
Well, I do. Because you don't want to pay for it.
on the face of it, I think absolutely, definitely, they should be legalised and owned and cooperatively run by the girls that work in them, instead of, you know,
having to walk the streets,
being exploited by a pimp or however it's defined. But I'd say, yeah, legalised with a view to eradicating them completely.
Yeah.
Because I just wonder if we don't just blindly accept the so-called need for them in the first place. What I mean by that is, what is the economic drivers that's impulsing these girls to do that kind of work, if you want to call it work, in the first place?
Well, it's the pimps, isn't it, really? I think they get them hooked on drugs and then...
It's a vicious circle, isn't it? That's how it works.
So, yeah, what kind of... You know, we're justifying it as a means of economics and a job as such, but if what you've just said there, Shirley, is true, and I'm sure it is, if you're saying these human beings are drugged up and then working, why are we justifying that?
Yeah,
I think that's what we're saying, Joe, that if it was legalised, that they would that wouldn't be allowed to go on, because you would remove the pimps from the equation.
Sure, but sorry, is it Joan?
Yes, hi.
Hi, Joan.
Lady Joan.
Lady Joan.
Yeah.
even as I said, you know, I agree with on the face of it, legalising them and being owned by the girls in the first place. But what I'm asking beyond that is, what's the economic drivers? Are these girls doing that kind of work? And let's face it, it's a really personal thing to have sex with somebody, or should be. Are they doing it to pay the rent, to feed the kids, to feed a drug habit?
Probably all those things, I would imagine.
I should think so.
None of those things justify to actually sell your body, because I don't know if you've actually ever known anybody that does this for a living, have you?
No.
We're not saying that, you know, it's the best way to earn a living or anything like that. We're just saying that it exists, and it has since time immemorial.
Sure, I'm saying, obviously it exists. What I'm saying is, as a society, are we just blindly accepting the need for it existing? So that's to say, well, maybe we should be sorting out our economic situation.
I see what you're saying. So you eradicate the actual need for the girls to do it?
Correct. If they don't want to do it, you know.
So that they've got a good job that they could go to, so it wouldn't even cross their minds to do this. That's what you're saying, Joe, isn't it?
Even if it gets to the point, because the economy's not doing too well at the minute, well, okay, I would rather subsidise somebody with decent benefits than they have to do something they really don't want to do, or they have to get drugged.
I think that would be a wonderful, wouldn't that be a fantastic situation if we could get into that position?
Well, we can. I think what we do, we accept these received wisdoms, like it's the oldest profession and things like that. Well, is it? You know, and where does that come from? Is that just from a...
Well, no, I think there's this need, you know, men will pay for sex, that's been proved, so therefore, you know, if a girl's in a desperate enough state, they will make themselves available.
You see? So we're accepting that someone is desperate to sell their body, and I don't agree with that at all. I mean, I knew a girl who did this for a living, and I suppose she would define herself as high class, I suppose, very good looking, bright, intelligent, and would profess that she was in complete control of it and it's exactly what she chose to do. But I knew her personally as a friend, and behind the facade and all the fake tan and the Gucci handbags and whatnot, she was completely broken inside and couldn't hold down a relationship.
I think you made a very, very good point. And I think what you're doing is suggesting going back further than this discussion, because we're talking about legalising something that's not well run at the moment, and you're talking about not having it at all because the girls aren't going to be compliant because they don't need to be. That's what
you're
saying.
That's what I'm saying. Is there a real need for it, or have we just accepted culturally that, oh, well, women just sell their bodies, and that's what, you know, men want it, and women sell it, and that's the way it is. And I think we should be a bit hold a bit more scrutiny on it than that.
Well, we need to have the alternatives, don't we? We need to have real alternatives for them.
Well, we need to have proper discussions as well.
Yeah.
But as you and
Charlie, were saying within the research that you'd done that women chose to get to know somebody before they would, you know, want to
go to bed with them.
So that suggests even in itself that, you know, it's quite a private and intimate thing for a woman. So if that's the case for a woman to buy sex from a man, why isn't it? Is it still not the case emotionally for a woman who's selling it? So surely she shouldn't necessarily be selling it, but if it's an intimate thing to her, she's doing it out of an economic necessity case.
Because she feels she doesn't have a choice.
Exactly.
Yeah, once they get hooked into it, I think they can't get out of it as well.
And what you're suggesting, in an ideal society, it wouldn't even occur to them because they wouldn't have the need to do this.
Yeah.
Financially, it would all be fine.
What I'm saying is, and chip in here, Ian, as well as a bloke here, I don't know how you feel, but what I'm saying is that maybe we should be creating the environment, economic environment, whereby it isn't forced on somebody to do it. It is your absolute choice to go and do that kind of work, if you so wish to do so. And if they wish to do so beyond that, then yes, they should be able to do it in a legalised, safe manner. And as I said before, you know, they should own the premises or the, you know, the business itself.
I agree with everything you've just said. They shouldn't be penalised. If you just say, for instance, if you are a lady that loves your work, because at the end of the day, that's what you're going to have to do. If that's your chosen profession and you are good at it and you want to do it and there's no pressure on you, and I'm sure there are people that fit that bill and do that on a daily basis, you shouldn't be penalised, should you?
Well, no, absolutely
but
not.
I would imagine they're outweighed by the people that are probably doing it because they have to, and that's wrong. I agree with what you're saying.
Those people that are trapped, that's what you're talking about.
And all I can say, I mean, I've only got my brief anecdotal experience with this one person, and she was a lovely girl. She would be what you would call, confident, you would think, you know, but it was all a facade. I knew her, you know, to have a chat with behind the scenes sort of thing, and she was completely broken, you know. I mean, beautiful looking woman.
Yeah.
Tall, you know, all of it, what you would define as aesthetically beautiful, but completely broken inside and couldn't hold down a relationship. And that is, that's someone who we would define as wanting to do it. And
just to go forward with your point there, Jay, she was broken inside, and you're saying that, you know, on the outside she didn't mind, she was okay to do it. You were her friend. Why did she continue with it then?
Well, that was an interesting thing in itself as well, John, because it's a sort of spiral effect. I think I didn't know her at the very beginning and knew her as she was, you know, already been involved in it. And I think it started off as an economic necessity, because she'd split up and was single mum, and this was easier for her to do. Quick money. And then I think slowly over time, the realization of what she was doing started to get to her. She then started to try and fill that void with cocaine and then alcohol. Became a dependency. She then tried to fill the void in her then with things like expensive clothes and accessories, you know, designer labels and stuff.
Which is part of the trap, isn't it? Because they can afford it. They can they can anaesthetize themselves by going a bit of retail therapy.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Anaesthetize themselves. I mean, so it had a sort of down, and the effect of all of that cumulative effect, to me, didn't seem like a very happy person, you know, at all. I mean, sometimes, she'd plenty of money, but there was nothing there, you know, loads of money, but couldn't hold down a relationship or have a happy experience with someone personally, because she just felt, she told me herself that every time she slept with someone that was close to her, you know, she's developing a relationship with, she just felt like she was betraying them. So there's all sorts of psychological things take into it as well. You know, I just think maybe as a society we shouldn't just accept that this is the oldest profession. I think that's a very glib and flippant thing, you know, we say, that just normalises the whole thing when we should be questioning the whole premise of needing it as
good
a
point.
Hey, look, Jay, we've got to move on, but thanks very much for coming on today. You made some really, really good points. Thank you.
Nice talking to you, Jay. Thanks.
Cheers. Bye. Now, just to go over a couple of things about and just compare other countries. As I've just been looking up, and this is really, you know, the comparisons are quite astounding between various different countries on the laws in their country. But I'm just looking at the one place where they may have got it absolutely bang on is New Zealand. Now, prostitution is legal, brothel ownership is legal, and it's been legal prostitution since 2003. Prostitution has been decriminalised. It's legal for citizens over 18. Brothel ownership also. Owners must be over 18. Now, apparently, Labour MP Tim Barnett's prostitution reform bill became law after nearly 3 years of scrutiny, 415 hours of debate by Parliament and its committees, and 222 public submissions. So they went through quite a lot of rigmarole there, and they came out the other side and they said, right, this is how we're going to do it. Yeah. And I kind of like the way that they've done that. But then you go into Nicaragua. Prostitution is legal, brothel ownership is legal, pimping is legal, and prostitution, which is legal for persons 14 years of age and older, was common, although the law prohibits its promotion, including procurement. But child prostitution remained a problem. The law permits juveniles 14 years of age or older to engage into prostitution. 14.
Well,
you know that. But you look at these countries and you think, well, how come you think that's acceptable? Yeah. You look at the way that New Zealand have done things, and then you look at Nicaragua and you think, 14,
yeah,
come on.
They get them married at that age as well, don't they, some of these African countries.
So yeah. New Zealand, when was that, Ian?
In 2003.
Okay, yeah. So that's, let's do the maths, I don't know, 13 years ago. So have you got any, do we know how that's improved life for these women out there?
I don't know, but I just want to move on to Sweden now, the place where you get free love, supposedly.
That's what they say, yeah.
And it's brothel ownership is illegal. Punishment includes up to 4 years in prison. Pimping is illegal as well. Since 1999, the selling of sex is not a crime, but the buying of sex is. Buyers face fines of up to 6 months in prison. That's in Sweden, where prosecution is officially acknowledged as a form of male sexual violence against women and children, one of the cornerstones of Swedish policies against prostitution and trafficking in human beings, in the focus on the root cause, the recognition that without men's demand for and use of women and girls for sexual exploitation, the global prostitution industry would not be able to flourish and expand. It's really strange that you think of the Swedes, free love and all that, and yet they've quite clearly said no to brothels and
just because something's
pimping.
Against the law doesn't mean it's not happening, does it?
Absolutely.
That's what worries me, that it's all pushed underground.
It probably is everywhere. Mm. Yeah, I think every country does.
And what would you think? You go to Thailand, prostitution, brothel ownership, pimping. What do you think? Legal or illegal?
Probably illegal.
I think it would be legal out there.
I'd say illegal.
Illegal.
It is illegal, and it is in Trinidad and Tobago. It's legal in Turkey. It requires registering and attending clinics for regular examinations, must carry out identity cards.
This is how it should be done.
This is in Turkey. So sociologists and psychologists interviewed 3,000 registered prostitutes working at brothels to determine whether they had been forced into the job and whether they would prefer another line of employment. There are 15,000 registered prostitutes in Turkey, 3,000 of whom work in 56 brothels, where there is an estimated 100,000 unregistered prostitutes in the country.
Yeah.
It varies all the way around the world, but that's the most shocking statistic, that it's okay in Nicaragua to be a prostitute at the age of 14.
That
is incredible. Cancel my Nicaraguan holiday.
Volumes, doesn't it, about the government?
Yes.
It does. Hey, look, we've ran right out of time. And time is money, as they say. So we'll...
On that note...